As I started saying earlier, we spend a lot of time. We've been spending a lot of time. I'm going in one direction, Pastor Ed's going another direction, but both of us are right smack dab on fundamentals. Who we are. One, I've said this before, but probably the greatest college basketball coach that ever lived, John Wooden, his first day of practice with world-class basketball players, he did the same thing for years. Taught them how to put on sneakers and socks and sneakers. 18-year-old athletes being taught how to put on properly their socks and their sneakers. Because he said if you put it on incorrectly, your feet will blister. If your feet blister, you can't play. If you can't play, we lose, you lose, I get fired. That was his position. And we're taking the same position. We're through taking for granted. Some folks have been here 40 years and still are having an identity crisis. That's not to knock anybody, that's just the way it is. And there have been too many prophecies spoken about this ministry. God's just waiting to take the lid off of them, but he needs his people. Don't anybody get bent out of shape. He needs those children to be mature. From the pastors right to the newest person to come through the door, he needs us to be mature, solid in our understanding of who we are. Solid in it. Just bear with us online, folks. We welcome you, but God just kind of put us right in it. Okay. But the words that's been spoken about the ministry wasn't just for the pastors. You know why? We can't do it by ourselves. If that was the case, the church would just have a pastor and no members. But the members make the church. The members will display what the church is all about. Because what's taught in the church will be in your actions, in your behaviors, in your lives. When folks say, how can you do that? You say, well, I worship at a place where the love of God is evident, so I can love. I worship at a place where the word of God is taught, so I can share with you what thus saith the Lord. I worship in a place where the Spirit of God is directing, so I know how to act in every situation. And I worship in a place where the power of God is manifested, so I can lay hands on you and you'll be healed. I can cast out devils. Because I'm in this place that God spoke of before any of us were formed in our mother's womb. And we have to get to the place where we not only understand who we are, we embrace who we are. We embrace it. Okay. I made some dramatic changes, or I should say my attitude caused some dramatic changes to be made in my life when I was younger. I don't know, and God hasn't showed me what path I would have walked, but because of my attitude, I wouldn't forgive anybody. And I had to get even. Not I wanted to get even. I had to get even. And so it changed the course of my life. And I went from whatever it was God was going to have for me to being a basketball player just to get even. No love for the game. Love to get even. What is it that's pulling you away from the call that you know God has on your life? What is it that's more compelling whatever it is, you got to let it go. You're going to walk it out. But I didn't start until I was 34. I spent all those years rebelling because I'm getting even. God said we're a forward fire base. That means we're positioned on the front line and we're launching weapons directly into the enemy's camp. That's why you're in that neighborhood you live in. That's why you're on that job. You thought it was just to live and make money. We're a forward fire base and we need to understand that. And then that will dictate what we do. You have to know who you are, and you have to know, I learned at a conference this weekend, they said you have to know the why so you can do the what. If you don't know, you ask, why are you a Christian? Why? You just don't want to go to hell? Why are you here? If you understand your why, you'll know your what. There have been harsh words spoken to me since I've been here over the years. My position was, I know God called me to be here under these two pastors. And I told them, wild horses couldn't drag me away. Pastor said, we're not trying to drag you away. I said, well, sometimes it feels like it. But I knew what God said. So I stayed. And others stayed. Because they knew their why. When you know your why, it doesn't matter what. As long as you fulfill your why. God said the people will come and the money will come. We understand that. So we'll look at our bank account and we won't get frustrated. We thank God that the people are coming and the money is coming. And we do the things that he tells us to do, even though we see what the statements say. But what we need always manifests. Because we know who we are. See, when you know who you are, folks, there's something that you develop based on that knowledge. You know what it is? An expectation. You develop an expectation. And you wind up having what you really expect. You will have up, you wind up having what you really expect. You know why? There's a principle in Matthew, or faith scripture. 23. You know the scripture. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Slow down. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them. What we say, we'll have. So understand this. We'll listen to things, we'll look at things, and we'll develop an expectation based on that, and then we'll voice what we expect. And it comes into existence. Why? Because you'll have whatsoever you say. And we say those things with such passion. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you walk around confused. because you said, I don't know what to do. And you, that means your expectation was, you don't know what to do. You don't expect to know anything. You, why didn't you say, Father, you said if I lacked wisdom, I could just ask you and provide it liberally. So thank you for giving me all the wisdom I need to handle this situation. Hallelujah. But we may say that, or I should say we may recite it, but oh, I don't know what to do. There's more faith in that. Then I'll give you the wisdom you need liberally. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. I didn't know it in January, but this has become the theme. This is the Amplified Classic. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. Say I'm special. Now listen to this. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're supposed to be displaying the results of being called out of darkness into his marvelous life. So what you do should be based on you displaying the marvelous works of God in your life. That's no different than let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. No difference. Believing and embracing our identity as a chosen generation should stimulate something inside of us. And that's called expectations. Well, what should we expect? Well, first of all, you should expect everything that God said concerning you. And if you do that, first of all, there is no second of all. It's just what you do. It's who you are. There's something else that I learned. I heard it this weekend. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. There's a word that we used to embrace in some situations that we need to get rid of altogether. Compromise. Well, we have to learn, sometimes you have to compromise. No, you never have to compromise. The way it was presented with this question. Would you drive over a bridge that was compromised? How many of you would? Would you get on an airplane that you knew was compromised? Would you go into a restaurant that got terrible reviews because they're saying the food was compromised? And I'll tell you why that's so telling. The moment you compromise, that means you can't talk about it, touch it. So it's always there in the way. And you're going to start expecting it to be a block. And your excuse for accepting it will be, well, sometimes you have to compromise. But when you have an expectation, you don't have to compromise, you expect. You consider probable or certain. You consider it reasonable, you consider it bound or obligated, and you anticipate or look forward to the coming or occurrence of a thing. It's your expectation. If the cook in your house, and I don't say husband or wife, I'm not chaining you to the stove, whoever the person is that prepares meals, and they say to you, I'm going to make the macaroni and cheese you love so well. Immediately, you develop what? An expectation. And when you see when you see the macaroni in the pot, and you see that person grating the cheese and getting their little personal touches that they put into it, because it's more than just macaroni and cheese. At least it is if it's going to be good. And you expect an aroma to start filling the place. And you're like, yes, I'm going to have macaroni and cheese tonight. I have no particular aversion or feelings toward macaroni and cheese. That's just the analogy God gave me. So don't go out here and start bringing me dishes of macaroni and cheese. Say that again, honey. And you start calling your friends. Don't call me between 7:30 and 9. I'm having macaroni and cheese tonight. And you go to the dinner table and you expect to see a dish of macaroni and cheese, and you don't. You don't. And you're like, what happened? You told me you were going to make it. Yeah, I did, but this batch is for our new neighbors down the street. You didn't tell me you were making it for new neighbors. I thought you were making it for me. You're a believer. Whatever happened to give, and it shall be given again unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But no, you forgot that. Because our own want got in the way. Our own want got in the way. And we forgot who we were. Went from being a Christian to someone who was hunting macaroni and cheese. Yeah, but they said they were going to make it for it, but they didn't say when. Your confidence should be in what's said. And if it's not today, maybe it's tomorrow, but you know it's coming. Because you have the right expectations and you've kept yourself in the right place. But we don't keep ourselves in the right place, and then we develop expectations based on things we see and not on who we are. Does that make sense? Pastor Clinton wrote a book, Expect Him To. And he said the word expect suggests that a person has sufficient reason to believe that some action is going to take place. What's your sufficient reasoning for your expectations? What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about who we are in Christ? Are we thinking about our responsibility based on our identity as children of the Most High God, that we're a chosen generation of royal priesthood? What happened to that when we start thinking of other stuff? What other stuff, Pastor? Any other stuff, social issues, political issues, health issues. The minute something doesn't go wrong, our expecting that God will do turns to expecting maybe he'll do, turns to expecting, well, I must not be his chosen. He'll do it for someone else, but he won't do it for me. Why you get to, how'd you wind up there? Because you thought that once you became a Christian, nothing would ever happen to you. Jesus said, in this world, you W-I-L-L-H-A-V-E, will have. You will have tribulations, persecutions, distractions. You will. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, then I've overcome everything that's in the world, because I couldn't overcome the world if I didn't take care of the things that were in the world, because if I did that, in the world would take over. But I've already taken care of it. I've already taken care of it. But it doesn't look like I've already taken care of it. But that's not what they said. I've already taken care of it. Expect me to, instead of expecting me not to. Expect me to be God in every situation in your life, because I am. That's what he wants us to understand. Our expectations are often based on a promise, an act, or even a written document. Expectations are also rooted in experience, whether we're expecting to achieve certain goals, expecting others to respond to us in a particular manner, or expecting to take our next breath. Being in a state of expectancy can become second nature, and should. We expect we're going to take our next breath because God says so. He's got us. And if he doesn't want us to take our next breath, I'm with him. Either way, I'm good. Either way, I'm good. God said to me, when it was announced to me that we were going to be ordained, myself and Pastor Ed, I should say, and then Ed Funstein, and he said to me, I'll keep you as you're doing what I tell you to do. He didn't say you'll never go through anything. He said, he'll keep me. And he has. And he did. But things came up. I had to remember who I am. Not who I was. Who I am. There are times that Minister Phyllis, my wife, had to tell me, remind me who I am. We're telling you who you are, not who you was, not who you might be, but who you are, because you are in Christ. In Christ. Right now, we rebuke the devil and his demons, and we command him in Jesus' name to get out of the households in this congregation. Get off of our children. We expect to see a change because we know who we are. We know the authority that we have. And Father, we repent for doing it, but we're not taking it anymore. We're not. We have too much work to do. Much too much. A good man, Luke 6:45, says a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why did I share that scripture? When you speak out negative expectations, it means you've been thinking about this for a while. And you've allowed it to permeate your heart. You've let it change the way you behave towards certain people, places, and situations. Some of it you may not even realize it. But you just tense all up when you hear certain names or certain things or certain places, because you expect that it's going to be ungodly, and it's going to be all those things. That's why you're there. Remember, love of God evident, word of God taught, spirit of God directing, power of God manifested. We have to remember we have that infused in us. Infused. That's our why, remember? That's our why. Lord, why do you always bring these people in front of me? Because you're at a place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. And they need all those things. Yeah, but why them? You're a chosen generation. I called you to show forth the works of me who sent you. That's why. Oh. But if we don't remember that, we'll start adding all these other things to the plate. None of them have anything to do with you becoming the place where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. But if you don't embrace that, anything can push it out of your hand and make it sound Christian. Oh, I'm a good Christian. I love the unlovable. Where's that scripture? Who did God ever designate as being unlovable? When God created everything, he said he looked back on it and said, "This is very good. Good job, me." We're made, that person that you think is unlovable, that person you think is ugly, is made in the image and likeness of God, just like you. So if you think they're ugly, look in the mirror. Because we're both made from the same stuff, with the same mold, the same model. God just said, bring me number 38 over here. We'll make 6,732,652 of those. Don't ask me to repeat that number. Our identity is we're made in the image and likeness of God. And he said, have dominion. So our expectation should be have dominion. Dominate. Why? Because God said so. We're supposed to keep the world. How? In the same condition that he made it. We're supposed to bring back, as the Father sent Jesus, he sent us. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The same way Jesus was called by God, he called us. So everything he did, everything he accomplished, we're supposed to do the same thing. I don't think you heard what I said. What did I say? Everything that Jesus did, we are supposed to be doing. Everything Jesus did, we are supposed to be doing. That should be our expectation. He suffered and took blows, and he had done nothing wrong. All he'd ever done was help people. We get bent out of shape because somebody says something or they won't let us share the name Jesus in our workplace. I can't go to work there anymore. I can't go to work there anymore. Well, what happened? They told me I can't put a Jesus poster outside my door. Okay. Where's the scripture that says you have to display pictures of Jesus? No, they're not supposed to see Jesus from a picture on your wall. They're supposed to see it in your everyday actions and speech. Amen. See, well, a picture's worth 1,000 words, not when it comes to identifying who God is. God said he wants people to see our good works. Works in action. That's what he wants to see. So if we're spouting off things that don't show God's good works, why is that our expectation? What have we been thinking about? What have we been holding on to? We need to remember who we are. Now think about something you said that really you know wasn't nice. And why you said it in the first place. Pastor Sarah asked me a question once that was very telling, because I'd get angry about anything. And one time I didn't. And I go strutting up to Pastor Sarah in the lobby after service. Mom, guess what? I got upset, and instead I left, went to a different room, and said, God, I believe your word. I believe I am who you say you are, so I'm taking everything out of my head and leaving it here, and I'm going back in the room, and if I'm still mad when I get there, then you didn't do your job. So I said to him. And then I waited for, way to go, Gregory! You finally got it! Yeah, I got it all right. Gregory, I think you need to go to God and find out why you get angry about that in the first place. Gregory, I think you need to go to God and find out why you got angry in the first place. Because you're strutting around happy because you kept control. Do you ever stop to think that you might lose control? I thought I took care of that when I said, if I'm still mad, God, it's on you. No, it'd be on me. What's my expectation? I needed to change it. But it seems that no matter how I pray about something or how much I confess, it doesn't seem to change. How long am I supposed to put up with this? You say that with more conviction than God will supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Father will keep me in perfect peace because my heart and mind is stayed on him. We won't think that. We'll have a different expectation, and not the one that says you're a person in whom the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is in manifestation. Because if the power of God is in manifestation, guess what I'll do? Remain. I was going to say keep myself in, but that revelation working in me will keep me under control. Because I'm not the controller. My Father is. That's why he said in Proverbs 4:23, this is the God's Word translation, guard your heart more than anything else. Because the source of your life flows from it. Guard your heart more than anything else. I remember years ago, we had taught our young people chastity and chastity principles and how to live a chaste life. And then they got invited to other churches to give one-day chastity seminars. Oh, they ministered to this high and adults. The expectation, we found that the expectation of the people was that they thought they had to become active. One person, one young lady, said, Mr. Carr, I did some research. It's okay. She said, I looked up in the dictionary the word woman. Nowhere in it did I find a definition that said sexually active. She said, so when these actors prove you're a woman, I don't prove anything to you. I know who I am. They knew who they were. And what was amazing is that the parents, some of the parents, got offended by one thing one of our young men said. The question was, what should you do on a date? And he boldly stepped out. Bold, I mean, he stepped right out. He said, I got this. The first date, the young man, the young lady at the young man's home with his parents. Second date, same thing at the young lady's home with her parents. The third date, both families come together. That's what he said. I'm off to the side going, yes. A hand went up in the audience. He said, yes. Now, mind you, he was 15. 15. Lady, I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. After all, we are sexual beings. I understood why the pastor called us to come. But I, because the young people were in control of this meeting. So I raised my hand and I said, may I answer her question? Said yes. I said, ma'am, if you had a large sum of money that you wanted to invest, would you take your money, walk down the street, and the first bum you saw on the street gave him your money and said, take care of this for me? He said, no, that's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? You have to make sure that the person knows what to do. I said, so you care more about your money than your child. And I walked away. I went back to the stage, I mean, to my podium off stage. The expectation of the entire room changed. And then the children did an altar call. Their call was to receive Christ, and their call was for secondary virginity. Half the place came. Most of them were adults. Most of them were adults. Now, I'm trying to relax on the way back because they ministered a couple of songs. We had a praise dance team who ministered. They didn't dance. They ministered. Oh, I got to tell you this one. I was standing next to a group of guys, and they had their eye on one of our young ladies. So I wanted to be in the area to hear what they were saying. And they had some stuff they were saying. And then she got out and she ministered the song, Hunger for Holiness. I'm tearing up because I'm remembering the moment. But she turned, the two guys, I turned and looked at them. And one said to the other, did you hear that, the way she's saying that? I don't think she's into that at all. His expectation changed. And I said, young man, you're right, she's not. Just to let them know who backs them up. They needed someone they could see. I'm telling you that because we got the young people to change their expectations about their behavior just by telling them who they are and they understanding who they are, not who they were, not who they hope to be,
but who they are right at that moment. Pastor Ed and I want all of us to understand who we are, not tomorrow, not 30 years ago when we first got saved, right now. Because every single day since you've been saved has not been the same. God said his mercies are new. Why would he say every morning? Because every morning you're going to have different things attacking you. Pastor Clinton shared that when we shared why we have an expectation, he said it's based on a promise or an experience or knowledge. What have I been saying from the beginning? Your expectation is based on who you believe you are. And I want to change that. I want your expectation to be on who you know you are in Christ. You have to know who you are so you can believe what you believe. A lot of people read what the Bible says we are, but they're not born again. They haven't had their minds renewed, so they don't see it the same way. But we do, and we have to stop acting like them so they will become more like us. To the world, we are the way, the truth, and the life. How can you say that? The Pharisee would call that blasphemy. No. Jesus said that the same way God sent him, he sent us the same way. So whatever we do, it's like Jesus is doing it. Your faith-filled words will produce. Your faithful words. Okay. What your voice is really doing is echoing what you feel in your heart. That's what it's doing. And when you speak out those words of faith out of an expectation that they're going to work the way God said they're going to work, if you're bent over, you stand tall. You don't take baby steps, you walk. You walk it out. Why? Because you know. You don't have to think about it. You know. And every step you take, everything you do says, I am a chosen generation. Strange that people think like that. Well, I'm a peculiar people. This is the way peculiar people act. Speaking of acts, I was thinking in my office, I was thinking about about Ananias. When he had an expectation about Saul of Tarsus. And his expectation was based on his experience. Because all the things that he thought that he said Saul would do, having the authority and from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name, he's had people killed. He put his stamp on Stephen being stoned. But God said, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Guess what, folks? We are chosen vessels sent forth by God to the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. We are. So our expectation should be what we share will be received, whether we see fruit of it or not. And Ananias believed what the Lord told him. The Bible says he went his way, entered into the house, and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee and thou in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias believed what the Lord told him, and most importantly, he expected to see what the Lord said. He believed it, he expected it, he said something based on what he expected, or based on what he believed. What are you believing? What are you expecting? Why would Peter stop and start talking to a beggar, a lame man? Why would he do that? He was given instructions. And from those instructions, he developed an expectation. An expectation caused him to believe that what he did, based on what Jesus said, will work. He didn't just say, I'll be healed in Jesus' name. He was like, hey, get up. Why? He believed. He expected that that man would walk. And his belief, folks, our expectation is infectious. That man believed he could get up. I thought it interesting. The Bible doesn't record anybody saying, well, help me, hold me up, make sure I don't fall. He told the other man, take up thy bed and walk. God didn't ask any other questions. What did he do? He got up, rolled up his bed, and walked. How could he do that? He expected that he could, based on what Jesus told him to do. Why can't we do that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I go to an area and I wait to see if the Holy Ghost tells me to talk to anybody. He already did. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every. Well, he knows who's going to receive his word and who's not, and I don't think he wants to waste your time. God already knows who's going to hell, but he sent Jesus to die for them too. Now, don't do this. I've been out of time, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. Matter of fact, probably won't read any of it. But it's Numbers 13, 33. You all know when they went to spy out the land. And God, now think about God. God told them to go and look and see the land that I've given, past tense, you. He also told them that they would see people there and that he would drive them out. So he took care of everything. Everything. And this is why having the right pastors and church leaders is important. Moses went back to give the instructions to the people and said, check and see if the people be strong. He said, look and see what I've given you. The minute you add to it, you put doubt in the mind of the individual. And 10 of the group came back, and their expectation was they couldn't because they saw some giants. They brought with them huge bunches of grapes and fruits, all of the good of the land they brought to show to people. And they say, look at all of this. But you can't have it because there are giants in the land. Why'd you bring it if that's what you really thought? But Joshua and Caleb, let's go take it now. There was a commercial years ago about a drug rehabilitation program. And they had this real tough guy. You know, this is your brain on drugs, fried egg. He said, look, you're a drug addict. You need help. You don't discuss it. You don't consider it. You need help. You go and get help. Call our number. We don't discuss, should we, based on who we are. There's nothing to discuss. Are you in Christ? Yes. Get to work. I got to get my money together. Who said so? Who called you? How many of you have ever been invited to a party? It's not a sin. You can raise your hand. Did you consider how much it was going to cost for you to go to this party? Did you? You just went. You were invited. You accepted the invitation. God gave you an invitation. Why don't you accept it? Why are we putting terms on him? Well, God, you take care of my issues with my children. Our founding pastors left for Tulsa, for Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, with 58 cents to their name. They didn't tell God, once you work out all our finances, then we'll go to Bible school. But they understood they would be training a chosen generation, because they themselves were part of a chosen generation. As Brother Copeland said when he was here, and other people have come here and left and have taught others, and others have taught others, and others have taught others, and others have taught others. We be part of those others. I know I said we be. Everybody say, believe, expect, confess. Now turn to your neighbor. Say, what is your expectation? Do you know what God has promised? Do you believe it? Do you expect it? Then start saying it and doing it. Now, I know we're out of time. But we're going to take at least 5 minutes to do this. We're a chosen generation called forth to show his excellence. All we require for life, God has given us, and we know who we are. We have a series of meetings coming up beginning on Friday. What's your expectation? Oh, Dr. Gee and Ilke are coming. Oh, he's a funny guy. We have a good time during service. Oh, they didn't come for you to entertain us. What's our expectation? Stand up now, take 5 minutes, and pray out your expectation for these meetings. You fasted? Everyone stand. We have Friday, Saturday. Friday is the singles meeting. Saturday is the healing and miracle service. You want to see healings and miracles done. What about the rest of you? You don't want it? You want to see signs and wonders in operation? This is a place where the power of God is in manifestation. Pray out your expectation. Father, we expect to see signs and healing miracles at the hands of the pays when they're here. We thank you that the singles are going to come and find out they're not really single. They're connected with God, and that they are complete in Christ. We thank you, Father, that nothing will prevent the pays from sharing your word with us accurately without any negative incidents. We command every demon in the area to flee. Flee in Jesus' name. You will not inhibit the people from coming and attending the meeting in any way, shape, or form. We thank you, Father, for all of the things that are going to come to pass through these meetings, how you're going to speak word to this congregation, words to these people, life-changing words. And we thank you because we know you heard this prayer. And the confidence we have is that if you hear, we know you hear us. We know we have the petitions we ask for. So our expectation is that we will see everything we just prayed. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. You just gave voice to your expectations. Before we receive communion, is there anyone in here that's never received Jesus Christ? If you never received Christ, we'd ask you to just raise your hand. If you never received Christ and you want to, just raise your hand. We're going to lead you in a confession. We want you to do it before you receive communion. I don't see any hands.